So it's going to be a little bit of a shorter shiur today. Once again, the learning throughout Chodesh Elul is sponsored by Jay and Shani Gelman, L'zecher Nishmas Jay's brother, Israel Simcha Chaim, Ben Avraham Moshe Alav Shalom. Okay, so today is Thursday, and being that it's Thursday, we're going to try to do a different topic, change it up a little bit on Thursdays. And being that it is Chodesh Elul, and we're quickly approaching the Yom Noraim, I thought a tshuva-related topic would be appropriate. Bez Hashem, next week, as we get closer to Rosh Hashanah, we're going to do a Rosh Hashanah-specific topic. But this is less halachic, more, I guess, hashkafic, although it touches on halacha as well. And that is the topic of whether tshuva really works. Now, it seems like a stupid question. Of course tshuva really works. The Rambam, the Gemara, tells us amazing stories about how tshuva works. If you got a chance to look at source number 5, the famous story of Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, that lo hiniach zona achas ba'olam shelo ba'aleha, that there wasn't a single zona in the world, there was not a single prostitute in the world that he had not used the services of. And then one time he heard of one prostitute that he had not yet experienced, and he decided to go to great lengths to be able to meet up with her. And at the moment where he was about to be with her, something happened, got him to think, and he decided to backtrack on everything on his entire life. And he goes out and he cries out to the mountains. Mountains, ask rachamim for me, ask mercy for me, so that God will forgive me. And the mountains say, what do you want from us? It's your aveiros. You take care of, you know, it's not our problem. We have our own issues. And, you know, let the oceans ask forgiveness for me, and on, till finally he comes to the realization, ein adavar teloi ela bi, everything is dependent on me. He niach rosha ben bircha v'ga b'b'chiyat shiyasa nishmaso. He puts his head between his knees. He cries out so with such emotion that he dies, literally. And a baskal comes out and says, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, mezumen l'chai olam haba. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya is going to olam haba. And here's a guy who spent his entire life sleeping with prostitutes. One moment in tshuva. And the Gemara points out, not only does he go to olam haba, he gets smicha. Right? At the end, they call him Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordaya. And the Gemara itself makes the comment, wow, that's unbelievable. Some people have to learn for 4 years, or, you know, I think in Chafetz Chaim, it's like 10 years, whatever it is, for X amount of years in order to study Yardaya carefully, and they get smicha. Here, in a single moment, he's Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordaya, and he goes straight to Olam Haba. So tshuva works, right? Tshuva for sure works. In fact, if you look at the Rambam in the very first halacha of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam has to tell you why it's important to do tshuva. So the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph writes, Kol mitzvah shabbatorah, bein asei bein los asei. Any mitzvah in the Torah, whether it's a mitzvah say, whether it's a mitzvah los asei, im avar adam alachsman bein mezadim bein mishkaga, if you violate any mitzvah in the Torah, whether you did it on purpose, you did it by accident, whatever it is, kesheyase tshuva v'yashuv mecheto chayv lesvados, you have to do tshuva and say vidoy, and through that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you forgiveness. And that, in that way, we're going to be, our records are going to be cleared. If you look in source number 7, the Rambam gets a little more specific. Gedola tshuva shemekareves asa adam l'shchina. It brings you back close to the Ribono Shel Olam. Pasuk says, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. That you go back to God. Kolomar, if you look in the second line, im tachzor b'tshuva bi sidbak hatshuva mekareves asarachokim, it will bring you close. Emesh hayazes sanui lifnei amakom, yesterday God hated you, like we saw Pesachim Kuf Yud Gimel. There are certain people God hates. Mishukatz umaruchak vitoeva, he was someone who was disgusting, abominable, and someone that God wanted to distance himself from. Vahayom, and now, the very next day, after tshuva, hu ahuv v'nechmad karov v'yedid. He's loved, he's precious, he's close, and he's a friend. V'chein atamotzei sheb'lashon HaKadosh Baruch Hu marchik hachotim ba mekari v'sashavim ben yachid ben rabim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes those who are distant, and when you do tshuva, he brings us close again. This is the idea of tshuva. Tshuva clearly works. Now, the question that the whole shiur revolves around is essentially the following. If tshuva really works, why doesn't Beis Din recognize it? Take, for instance, the following case. A guy comes in, two Eidim come into Beis Din, and they say, 10 years ago, we saw Reuven kill Shimon in cold blood. Bezin say, well, did you give him Asra? Yes, we gave him Asra. You told him what Onish he's going to get? We told him exactly what Onish he's going to get. And what did he say? He said, I know exactly what Onish I'm going to get. I'm doing it anyway. I don't care what you guys say. And he went and he did it with Asra, aid him the whole thing. So we immediately arrest the guy. We bring him to court. And the guy, edel guy, sincere, and they ask him, did you do this? And he says, no. So what do you mean, no? We have aid him. That's what he did. He says, no, that was the old me. The new me didn't do this. For the last 8 years, I've been living like a tzaddik. I have, you know, I've did complete tshuva, total charat alavar. The Rambam says you should be like an adam acher, like a new man, a different person. That's me. I'm a different person. Can't punish me. What's Beis Din going to do? Shkoyach on your tshuva. We're so proud of you for the way you lived your life. Now we're going to kill you. Right? Why? God, tshuva's good enough for God. Why isn't it good enough for Beis Din? So the truth is, I'm making an assumption. The assumption I'm making is that it's in fact not good enough for Beis Din, that Beis Din will in fact kill the guy. Is that necessarily true? So there's a wild maramakom. It's just good to know this maramakom. The Gemara talks about, let's take the Rambam. Rambam's better. The Rambam talks about what happens when you have an ira nidachas. Right? We're familiar with the halacha of an ira nidachas. Nir Nidachas is a city that most of its inhabitants have violated Avodah Zarah, and the entire city is killed, and all the possessions therein are destroyed. Right? Very, very severe treatment of Nir Nidachas. Take a look at how the Rambam describes what happens in Nir Nidachas. Source number 12. And again, we're going to skip a lot of sources just because time constraints. So you're welcome to study it on your own later. Says the Rambam in source number 12, V'heich din ir hanidachas. How does ir hanidachas work? B'zman shetia ru'uya le'asos ir hanidachas, at a time that's appropriate for an ir hanidachas, Beis Din agadol sholchin v'dorshin v'chokrin, Beis Din investigates, at sheyedu, not just any Beis Din, the Beis Din agadol, Sanhedrin agadol investigates, at sheyedu b'raya berura, shehudcha kol ha'ir oruba, until they know with utmost clarity that either the entire city or at least the majority of the city violated Avodah Zarah, v'chazru la'avodas kochavim, and they went and they did Avodah Zarah, achar kach sholchlem shnei talmidei chachamim lahazhiram ulahachziram. So then, Beis Din sends two talmidei chachamim emissaries to the city, and the job of these two talmidei chachamim is, there's plenty of kiruv work to be done, get to work. Right, start doing kiruv. Start getting people to do tshuva. Im chazru va'asu tshuva, mutav. Says the Rambam, if people in the city do tshuva, good. If these professionals are successful, cross off the list of things to do on the Beis Din's list of not wiping out that city. They no longer have to do it. Everything's good now if people do tshuva. V'im yamdu ba'avlasan, but if they remain stubborn in their way, in their mode of behavior, Beis Din mitzavin lekol Yisrael lalos alein latzava. Beis Din has to declare war against that city. All of the Jewish people have to be involved in a war against that city. Vein sarin aleim v'orchin ima in milchama. They attack them. Ad shetivka yir, until they capture the city. Kishetivka, and as soon as they capture the city, miad marbin lehabatei din v'danim asam. They set up little batei din all over the place. And one by one, they judge each person in the city for their Avodah Zarah crimes. Kol mi shabol av shnei edim shavet kochavim. And anyone who has two edim that he violated Avodah Zarah, achar sheyisrael, so after receiving Asra, mafrishin asa, they put him aside, they lock him up for a while. Okay, that guy's done Avodah Zarah, that guy, they lock him up, and then they tally it at the end. Nimtzu kola of the mi'uta. If the final tally is the people who are set aside as people who we've determined have violated Avodah Zarah are the minority of the city, Soklin Osan, Vishariir Nitzel. We only kill those people, everyone else is off the hook, because it's only a minority. But Nimtzu Ruba, Malin Osan, the Beis Din HaGadol, the government Shamdina, Bahargim Kalelu, Shah Avdu Besayev. Right, so what do we do if it turns out to have been the majority of the city? So we bring them to the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, we have a Gemar Din, and we kill them all with Sayef, and we wipe out the entire city. Good? Which line of the Rambam is troubling? Here you have people who were Ovid Avodah Zarah. We could have Edim that they were Ovid Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam, at a certain point, says the process would stop. The process would be over if what? If what? If they did tshuva. Says the Ravid on that Rambam at the end of the paragraph in source number 12. Acher kach sholchlem shnei talmidei chachamim lahas yosan lachzirin lemchaz vas tshuva mutav. Omer Avraham, tov hadavar shetoi lehem atshuva, avalom matzasi tshuva moel hasachar esro maisa. The Ravid says, look, tshuva is a great thing. But come on. Where do you ever find? You gave someone hasra'a. They did the crime anyway. There were Aiden that saw it. And Beis Din is going to say tshuva is good enough? That can't be. The Ravid understands that the Rambam thinks it can be. But the Ravid says that can't be. We can't accept tshuva in Beis Din. Says the Migdal Oz. Ani Omer Kitos, Migdal Oz, one of the commentaries on the side of the Rambam. Ani Omer Kitos Sofer Hayu B'Sifro. He says it must have been a typo on the Rambam. Ukvar dakti b'sefer shehuga b'ksivas Ramzal. He said, I looked at old manuscripts of the Rambam, v'chasimaso, ve'en kasav ba'achka chozrim. And it doesn't say anything about chozrim, about tshuva, and about that tshuva stopping the whole process. But he says, Migdolo says, so in reality, Rabbi doesn't know kasha because the Rambam never said it. So the whole thing is just a joke. But says Migdolo, he has to throw in an extra line to further confuse us. Vafilu haya, and let's say the Rambam did say it. Then what? Tamani lama lo tawil. Hare kol davar shabol. I'm not sure what that word is supposed to be. I typed it in myself, so it's obviously a typo. Kol davar shabolam vaksiv shuvu banim shavim. Tshuva works on everything. So why shouldn't it work? So he says, look, the Rambam didn't say it works, but he could have, and I wouldn't have a problem with it, because tshuva works on everything. So if they did tshuva, there's no reason why they should still get killed. Unbelievable. It sounds like Migdal Oz is saying, our case that we started with, guy walks into Beis Din, I'm about tshuva. There was just a story last week in the news of this guy who had kidnapped a girl and kept her for, what was it, 18 years or something. And they did an interview with him right afterwards. He says, look, back in the beginning, it was bad. It was ugly. It wasn't good. But I've changed my whole life, and I've been so much better. And you're going to see, it's going to be the most heartwarming story, and it's going to be amazing. And everyone... And what does the whole world say? Please, give us a break. It's going to be a heartwarming story. What do you mean? You took this girl, you raped her, you... Come on, heartwarming story? What do you mean? But if he did tshuva, if in the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, he's been so much better, so do we accept that? Migdalo says, well, why not? He did tshuva. Unbelievable. The power of tshuva, according to the Migdalos, apparently. But is that for real? Does tshuva undo previous problems? Can tshuva take something that was an avera and really, in this world, turn it into a mitzvah? So, Rav Shechter in his Eretz HaTzvi, in his first sefer, Rav Shechter wrote 3 svarim, besides for the svarim of the Rav's Hanhagos, besides for the Nefesh HaRav Mipnine Rav, he wrote 3 svarim. First one starts with an aleph, second one with a beis, third one with a gimel. Zeretz HaTzvi, Bikvei Atzon, and Ginas Egos. He did that on purpose. At least once he did the first two. Once he was writing the third one, he said, okay, I got aleph beis ready, might as well go gimel. He should be zochet to go through the aleph beis several times. Okay, anyway, so Rav Shechter in his Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, in Siman Tazayin, says that this Migdal Oz is dafka by the case of Yerni Dachas. He would never apply this anywhere else. Why? Because there are a number of requirements for something to be in Yerni Dachas. In order for a city to be granted the name Ir Nidachas, it has to be a city where the people in it are Ein Lehem Chelek L'Olam Haba. Meaning, the fact that they have no Chelek in Olam Haba is not only a punishment for them, it's part of the definition of Ir Nidachas. Now, does tshuva work in Olam Haba? For sure. No one disagrees that tshuva works in Olam Haba, right? So if the guys did tshuva in that city, now they have yesh lahem chelek li'olam haba, we can't call them an Ir Nidachas anymore. That's why it aborts the process of turning them into an Ir Nidachas. But that's dafka adin by Ir Nidachas. Because we know tshuva does work for olam haba, and one of the requirements of being an Ir Nidachas is being a city where the inhabitants are ein lahem chelek li'olam haba, so it can't be an Ir Nidachas, because these people did tshuva, and they have a chelek l'olam haba. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, it seems, at least by most Isurim, leaving out Ir Nidachas, tshuva is not going to help you in Beis Din. You can come into Beis Din and say, but I did tshuva, I'm a tzaddik now, I'm good now. Beis Din's going to laugh in your face, or they might encourage you, give you a pat on the back, and say, okay, now come so we can kill you. right? They're going to take care of you. They're going to still punish you the same way they always did. There is an issue raised by some poskim about if tshuva really helps. Maybe that should affect Beis Din. In a different case, there's but these are like, believe it or not, marmakomos. Like this migdalos, it's not the standard understanding. The idea that tshuva should help, piskei tshuva has an unbelievable. Not to be confused with the Piskei Tshuvos. A lot of people use a sefer called Piskei Tshuvos, which helps you through the Mishnah Brura. It gives you all the contemporary poskim on each halacha in the Mishnah Brura. This is a different sefer. This is in the 19th century. A rabbi wrote a sefer called Piskei Tshuva, of interesting topics that come up in various Tshuva Svarim. And also not to be confused with the Piskei Tshuva, which appears on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. Totally different. So in Piskei Tshuva, the least known nowadays of those three books, that Piskei Tshuva says, what happens if you have the following case? A married woman has an affair, and she gets pregnant from the woman that she has an affair with, and they have a baby. So that baby is what we call a mamzer. Then the woman and the guy who had the baby do tshuva. Oh, what does Gemara Numa tell us about tshuva? That whenever you do tshuva, the averos turn into mitzvos. Mamzer, by definition, is a result of a bia asura, of something that was done that was aser. It was a mitzvah. They did tshuva, it was sincere. Maybe the kid's not a mamzer anymore. He raises that possibility. So right away you're shaking your head, that's ridiculous. Why is that ridiculous? Tshuva works. That's the fundamental question. If tshuva really works, if we really believe it, why don't we put our money where our mouth is and say, look, Bazin's got to believe it. Bazin believes in the power of tshuva, let's follow through with that. So there's one obvious answer that I always thought was the right answer. What's that?
I think it's Shemayim. It's not like...
Why?
Why?
Right, I agree. The question is why? Why does Bazin not believe that tshuva, a guy did tshuva, he's a tzaddik now? So that's what I always thought the answer was. My initial impression was always, how do you know if the guy, you're going to read his mind? You know if this guy did tshuva? You don't know if this guy did tshuva. Why? Because he has a beard? Because he has tzitzis out? I mean, you see guys with beards and tzitzis out being arrested all the time. Right? There's a beautiful piece Rav Schwab wrote about Chilul Hashem in the 1970s when there was a very, very frum Jew who owned nursing homes. And what did he do? He would take after people would die, he would hang on to the body so he can still collect government funds to support those people. And it was a public trial on TV every day. A guy with a beard, big black yarmulke, on trial every day. Big black yarmulke! No? He's a tzaddik! So is that a raya that a guy did tshuva? You don't know if the guy did tshuva. That's what I always thought. Right? Let me ask you something. If you have a suffek, whether a person is chayav misa, and let's not even say a 50-50 suffek. Let's say you're 99.99% sure that a guy is chayav misa. There's a 0.01% chance that he's not chayiv misa. What do? Let him go. Not only that, even after we have a gemar din and he's being sent out to be killed, anybody at any time can say, wait, I got something else to say. I'm going to be melamed zchus and stop the whole process. We would never, ever kill somebody based on a suffix. So if the answer that I thought of and that you thought of is correct, and we're in good company, by the way. This is the answer the Chida thought of as well. If you, in fact, look in source number, let's say 21, Biruran shel devarim kachu, deme'achar de tshuva ikara belev. Tshuva's in your heart. Ubochen libo selokim. And God is the one who knows what's in our hearts. Alkein mishen eschayiv miso malkus, hagam da'ayin roes sak ve'efer. Yeah, we see the guy's wearing sackcloth and he's rolling around in the dirt and he's so sad and has such charata. Yatzia v'tzom v'bechli u'mispeid and he's crying. Dilma lo asa el lefnim. Maybe that's all external, but on the inside he didn't really do tshuva. So the Chida thought of our answer, and the Chida says it somewhere else as well. The Chida thought of our answer. The problem with it is that, first of all, there's a Gemara, there's enough in a Gemara in Ksubas, there's a Ksubas for the day, that says that there is such a thing as knowing that someone did tshuva. There is such a thing as you know that someone did tshuva. How would you know if someone did tshuva? When can we have the audacity to say, we know he did tshuva? So how does the Rambam define tshuva gemura?
Same position, but you don't do it again.
Good. Rambam defines Teshuva Gemuras, you have the same position, you're still youthful and have the same drives and desires, etc. And this time, Osa Isha, Osa Makom, right? And this time you don't do the Avera. So it's pretty simple. You saw this guy, his mom, she put in the same position. A kid cheated on a test. Now he's, when he was in high school, every single test. Cheated on every test. Now he's in college. Same position, stakes are even higher because the college grades matter a lot more than the high school grades, presumably, depending on what you want to do for a living, right? So the stakes are even higher, and he's right next to someone who happens to be smart, who doesn't know how to cover their paper well. You know, same position, teacher's in outer space, same chance, and this time he doesn't do it. I'll say that's tshuva. That's tshuva gemura, isn't it? So you know the guy did tshuva. If he didn't, he would have done the avera again. Yeah.
According to the Rambam, how could you know the same exact drives? Like maybe it's whatever, years later, so he doesn't actually have the same exact
good
drives. So you're in the same place.
Right. So that's a good cash on the Gemara. But the Gemara does assume that there are situations where we know a guy did tshuva. So let's assume that there are situations that you know a guy did tshuva. Sometimes we can know that a person did tshuva. And the Gemara even relies on tshuva if someone was pasaledus. Let's say I had a shayla, a kid who was in my shir, I forgot how many years ago, called me up and said I was asked to be an aide on a ksuba. I told you this one. I was asked to be an aide on a ksuba, the kid said, and I don't know if I can do it. I said, why not? And he told me some avera that he had, that he does. Actually, someone else called me up and said, I gambled in high school. So my pasaledus is because I gambled in high school. So the answer is, if you did tshuva, you're not pasaledus anymore. What does it mean you did tshuva? You no longer do that avera, whatever it is. Let's assume gambling is an avera. That could be a different sheet, right? So you did tshuva, you're not pasaledus anymore. We rely on that. You do tshuva, you're not pasaledus anymore. So Beis Din does rely on it. So don't tell me we don't know if someone does tshuva. We know sometimes. You're right, most of the time we don't. But sometimes we know. And yet Beis Din would still kill somebody. If they're a mass murderer and they did tshuva, Beis Din would still kill them. So the Chida's answer leaves us a little bit empty, because it solves most cases, but not all of them. Yeah.
Going back on, I guess the answer that we proposed. Who's to say that whether we know if a guy did tshuva or not, is that enough to make it a suffix, to make it 99.99? Is that enough?
Well, the Chida's answer assumes that if you didn't know for sure that he did tshuva, you can't kill him.
Right, but we're saying if it was a suffix, if it's we don't know if he did tshuva or not.
Right.
So therefore we would say.
So we should never kill anybody because there should always be a suffix. Maybe he did tshuva.
Make that a suffix enough that we wouldn't be allowed to kill him. Does that make it?
But that's why I
100.
That's why, right, I think so. That's why I pointed out that no matter how small the shadow of the doubt is when it comes to killing somebody, we're not going to kill them. So the chance that he did tshuva, which is, let's assume it's more than a 0.01% chance. It's a reasonable chance. I mean, the guy looks like he did tshuva. There's a reasonable chance that he felt bad for what he had done. So, and he, and he was mekabel not to do it again in the future. Doesn't even need tshuva kamura, even if he did tshuva. L'chora. Yeah, Vera's gone, yeah.
So for cheating on tests, I understand, because there are only some specific times you can be cheating, being a mass murderer, what do you do in tshuva when you're not killing someone? Anytime you're not.
Okay, so again, for most of it, you're not going to be able to tell. But for those that you can tell, and besides, we have this other question on the chida that it's at least a safek. So okay, so I there's no way to easily measure whether you did tshuva, but it's at least a safek. You have a question? No. So another approach is yesterday's Noda Bihuda. Right, the Noda Bihuda we did yesterday. Yesterday we mentioned the first half of the Noda Bihuda where he discusses the whole shatness issue and what's called Shevi Altas, Akum Masei, Einis V'chal Lisser, etc., etc. Today we do the second half. The Noda Bihuda in the second half of that same tshuva, as I mentioned yesterday, starts to describe how to do tshuva for this. And as we said, the guy who was asking, who had slept with this married woman for several years, said, you got to go easy on my tshuva because I'm weak. I'm a yeshiva bachur. I learn constantly, so I'm, Torah weakens you a little bit, so I'm not going to be able to withstand that much. And he was assuming that David would tell him how much to fast, how he should roll around in the snow naked, how he should humiliate himself publicly. These are the methods that the classic Musar Svarim apparently had recommended as ways of doing tshuva. of various ways to afflict yourself. And he assumed that that's where the Nodav Yehuda was going to go. And Nodav Yehuda said, let me ask you, if you wanted to do tshuva samishkal, what's called, you know, an even tshuva that will even out what you had done, you know how long you'd have to fast? Fast for 50,000 years and you're still not done. It's not what it's about. It's not about afflicting yourself and punishing yourself. You can't give yourself Gehenim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you Gehenim. What you can do is try to come closer to God. What you can do is have Charat ala Avar, Kabbalah ala Asid, regret what you had done, be makabel on yourself not to do it again. That's what you can do. You can't do these. You can't give yourself Gehenim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give you Gehenim. And then in the middle, he discusses this concept of Beis Din not accepting tshuva. And if you look, and for some reason, this is in source number 9. This is in source number 9 on that long page where it's all Nodav Yehuda in the long underlined section. He says, V'teda, Hayreza bilti safek sha'tshuva mechaperes kapara gemura. There's no doubt that tshuva works. V'davizem uforsim b'torah neviim uksuvim u'bishnei ha'talmudim u'kalim midrashim v'anavi yomer u'bishav rashim u'yirshaso. You look in any Jewish book, you'll find that tshuva works. Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, Medrash, wherever you want, tshuva works. Kol chataz v'shechadol skrenelo. V'gam zeh ein safek bo b'zman shasen hedron yinoi gemavar l'chayevim misus beizdin achar asra af im shohu eidim v'lo ba'u l'beizdin shonim rabos. Our case. He says, it's also equally clear to me that if you do an Avera, and you had a Sra'a, and they were Edim, even if it took years till the Edim came to Beis Din, Ubein Ka'achasa Zeh Tshuva, and during those years, you had an opportunity to do Tshuva, V'hirba Sigufim V'Tanios, La'in Mispar, and you put yourself through the ringer during those years, Yoser V'yoser Mitshuva Samishkal, even more than would have been required, and Iskabar Okeach, V'shuv Achar Kol HaTshuva Ba'u'edim L'Beis Din V'idu, Havadai she'in ha-Beis Din mashkichin al tshuvaso. Beis Din won't care a single bit about your tshuva. V'sorfin v'soklin l'thiyona shachet, they'll punish you anyway. V'adavar yifla. It's unbelievable. Kivan she'vadai she'atshuva hu'ilo, kvar sara vonu v'chataso, nischapra, since the avir is gone, you have kapara, lama yumas, v'nakiv tzadik al tarog siv. Why should you die? Torah says, v'nakiv tzadik al tarog. Can't kill an innocent man. And it's enough in a Gemara that Beis Din still kills him. So says Nodav Yehuda, this is the answer. Gzeres hakasavhu she'ilmalei kein batlu onshei Torah bechlalan ve'ein adam sheyumas beBeis Din. He says there would be no concept of misas Beis Din, and our entire system would fall apart if Beis Din were not allowed to follow through on some of the tshuva. Now, if you read on, he is not saying the same thing as the Chida. He is not saying because we don't know if they did tshuva. He's saying even if you know for sure that they did tshuva, gemura, that it's absolutely sincere, it's a complete tshuva, you can't let them off the hook, because what's to stop a person then from saying, all right, no consequence to my actions, because I can just do what I want, I'll do tshuva later. And people will start to realize that there are no consequences to actions. And if people realize that there are no consequences to the actions, what's going to stop people from doing averos? The only thing that stops people from doing averos is when they know that there are consequences. They know that Beis Din could kill them for this. But if they think in the back of their minds, you know what, if I do tshuva, I'm going to get off the hook anyway. So it's an out right away. They have like an automatic out. So I might as well do this. True, the Rambam writes in the fourth parak of Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam writes about the Chav Dalet Dvarim HaMa'akvin Es HaTshuva. Right, he writes about 24 things, 24 averos that you can't do tshuva on. You always think, like, what can't you do tshuva on? You kill people, you can do tshuva. What can't you do tshuva on? So the Rambam gives 5 categories. One of the categories are things that you don't know who you've affected and hurt by it, so you can't ask mechila from them, so you can't get kapara through tshuva. One is, it's something that you don't realize is even asur, because it's such a... people don't realize that it's anything serious, like Shmiras Hayinayim issues, what our eyes take in and hear hurim, those types of things. We think, oh, I didn't do anything, I just looked, right? So we don't think of it as an avera. So we're unlikely to do tshuva. But the first category the Rambam has is averos that are so severe that God doesn't allow you to do tshuva, he closes the door. And one of those is someone who does an avera and says, I'll do tshuva later. Yom Kippur will take care of me. God closes the door. But still the Nodav Yudah says, yeah, but that's not going to stop a person from thinking that way. And if a person is going to think that way, as long as a person thinks that way, he's still going to do the Avera. And the whole point of the Onesh, the whole point of killing people, is to stop people from doing Averos. So then there's not going to be any point to the Onesh, because you're not going to be able to stop people from doing Averos. That's another view of his assessment. What's the problem with that assessment? So first of all, it's not so clear that that's the point of the Onesh. Meaning... Good. Right? A much stronger possibility of what the point of the Onesh is to give him Kapara. What's wrong with saying that that's the point of an Onesh? The point of an Onesh is to deter the person in the first place from doing it, because he knows what the repercussions are going to be, that Beis Din's going to kill him.
Because then you could just do Tshuva, no? If it's the whole point is for Kapara, then Tshuva can also be the Kapara.
Okay, but leave aside that, but go with the other one. Meaning, let's assume Nodav Yudah is right. Tell me why he's not... Listen to the Nodav Yudah's answer and tell me why it's wrong. Nodav Yudah says the whole point of giving an Onesh is so that when a person is thinking, should I do the Aveir, should I not do the Aveir, he's going to say, well, I don't want to get killed, and Beis Din is going to kill me if I do this, so I'm not going to do it. Why is that assessment wrong? Well, he thinks God's going to kill him.
But then he knows that he can do Tshuva, so he's not
going to
prevent him anyway.
Okay, so Kares leave out of the picture, but even within Mises Beis Din, good Hara, but even within Mises Beis Din, how often does Beis Din kill somebody? You know why there's still crime? Because nobody thinks they're going to get caught. And when the system is set up that nobody actually does get caught, then really nobody's going to think they're going to get caught. Right? If Beis Din kills Maramakos once every 7 years, once every 70 years, whatever it is, we have a system that's set up that people don't get killed. It never actually happens. So is that really going to deter a person? He's going to be thinking in the back of his mind, oh, I might be that guy. No one thinks that way. Everyone thinks I'm going to get away with it. So it doesn't really deter an Avera. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, fascinating tshuva. I put it in the Mar Mekomos. Rav Moshe, I believe, as far as I know, I'm not certain about this, but as far as I know, I believe it's the only tshuva in all of Igros Moshe that's written to a guy. All of the other tshuvas in Igros Moshe were written to Jews who asked him shailas. This was written to a guy who asked a shaila. Who was the guy? Not just any guy. It was the governor of the state of New York. Good? I don't remember which guy. I think it was the one before Cuomo. I don't know who it was. Right? It doesn't say the name. He just says, Sar Hamadina, Nasi, something. It's not the president. It was the governor of the state of New York. I asked one of Moshe's grandchildren who it was. Yeah.
You're in Hebrew?
Well, someone obviously translated for the governor. But it got printed in Hebrew in the Igros Moshe. So, Moshe didn't speak English. But I'm sure someone
Yiddish
translated.
Yiddish. Really?
Yeah. So certainly not well. What happened was the governor of the state of New York was trying to cheshbin the morality of the death penalty. And he wrote to several religious leaders about what their religion's view of the death penalty is. So he writes to Rav Moshe, some sheikh, he just wrote to different people to get a consensus of what religion thinks of the death penalty. Now, if I was Rav Moshe answering that shaila, right away, what would I have responded? I would have started talking about, if he's talking about death penalty in the state of New York, who are they killing? Mostly non-Jews, right? So I would have written how the halacha views chiv misa klapei, right? Gayim. He doesn't. He gets into how we impose the death penalty on our own, meaning in terms of what Beis Din does. And he essentially says, it never happens. They don't give the death penalty. He quotes all the Gemara, it's just impossible. The way we set up the system to bring Raya, it's just impossible. Why have it if you're never going to do it? He says, because when you're a child and you're learning in school, if you're Mechal Shabbos, you're Chayv Skila. So the kid's going to think to himself, wow, that's harsh. Must be a serious Avera. Not that he thinks, I might get it. It might happen to me. No, he knows it's never going to happen to him. But he appreciates the magnitude of the Avera. So yes, an onesh is a deterrent from sin, but not because it's going to happen. It's a deterrent from sin because it gives you an appreciation of what the Avera is, of what the Avera means. That's how Rav Moshe understands. Phenomenal insight into the idea of Chiv Misa. And then he says at the end, but if you see society is getting out of control, and this is the only way to control things, Beis Din is allowed to kill people randomly who are getting out of control. Right? That is a koach that's given to Beis Din even without this standard of evidence. So you are allowed to do that if you need to do that to run the state, the country, whatever. You are allowed to do that. But the idea is very much not like the Nodav Yehuda. Right? The Nodav Yehuda said the whole point of the chiv of the onshim is because you're going to think, I don't want that to happen to me, so I'm not going to do the Avera. Well, if you could just do tshuva and have an out, then you're still going to do the Avera. But according to Rav Moshe, no. The point of the onesh is you're going to understand that this is something really severe, really serious, and that's why I'm not going to do the Avera. Not that I think it's going to happen to me. I'm not going to do the Avera because I know it's so serious. So what? I'm going to say to myself, I'll just do tshuva later, but look how serious this Avera is. So I'm still not going to do the Avera. That's how one might argue with the Nodav Yehuda. Another way, right, okay, so we've had the Chida and the Nodav Yehuda, and we've suggested that neither answer really satisfies us completely. The Yisod HaMachlokes between the Nodav Yehuda and the Chida might be, as we suggested before, as Jeffrey mentioned, what the purpose of punishment really is. If it's to discourage the sinner from doing it, then the Nodav Yehuda might be right. If it's for kapara, then the Chida is probably correct, right? Then it's more likely like the Chida, not like the Nodav Yehuda. We have nafkaminas between the Nodav Yehuda and the Chida. What if you know for sure a person did tshuva? According to the Chida, Beis Din should not punish him. According to the Nodav Yehuda, Beis Din still should punish him. Can't let people off the hook with tshuva, right? So we have several examples. There are other nafkaminas. Again, because of time, we're not going to go through them. Very basic third answer. And third answer, at first, may not sound particularly satisfying, but I think it might be the one that's correct. Tshuva works, for sure. But tshuva is not a rule for us to follow. It's a rule for us, it's a mitzvah for us to do. The kapara that one gets through tshuva is given by God. And when we have a judicial system, when we have a system of, you know, ensuring justice in this world, we have to do it on our own level. And we can't really get involved with God. Meaning, any system of justice is going to be imperfect. The whole, why is it? Think about this for a second. We mentioned before, Beis Din kills once every, tons of people chayv misa, but Beis Din rarely ever kills somebody. But if the guy's chayv misa, isn't that a terrible injustice that we're not killing these people who are chayv misa? Isn't that a terrible injustice? What kind of Beis Din is that? The people at Mechalei Shabbos, they had Eidim, they had us. How could that be? How could we let them get away with it? The whole yisod of Beis Din assumes that there is a God, and that God will do his things and he'll even things out. How? We don't know exactly how he's going to even things out, but that's why he's God. He gets paid the big bucks and not us. Right? He'll figure it out. He'll even things out. For instance, there's a concept the Gemara talks about in Maseches Brachos of Yisurin Shel Ahava. Right? The Gemara says if you're suffering terribly, so first you should try to be Tolu B'Bitul Torah. Right? Maybe it's the fact that you're not learning enough Torah. It goes through a whole bunch of steps that you should assume the Avera is related to. Yifashish b'masav, see if maybe you're not acting properly, you're not doing, whatever it is. And then the Gemara says, okay, you go through all those stages and you realize, I learn perfectly, I do everything perfectly, I never did anything wrong my entire life, I'm Eov, right? And I'm still suffering. So the Gemara says, okay, so then be told it's Yisurin Shel Ahava. What kind of garbage is that? Yisurin Shel Ahava? No thanks. Right, the Gemara has an expression a few times. I'm a rabbi. We're asked, "Chaviven alecha yisurin? You liking it? How the yisurin?" He says, "Lo hein v'lo scharan, Rabbi Yochanan." Right? I'm not interested in the yisurin. I'm not interested in the schar from the yisurin. So, well, how does yisurin shalava work? God's just not fair. No, we assume God's got a cheshbon and he'll figure things out. Maybe he wants to bump my seat up in Olam Haba. And he wants to put me next to Moshe Rabbeinu, so he needs to punish me terribly in order to bump me up a little bit. I don't know. I don't know what his cheshbon is, but he's got his cheshbon. Beis Din works with our own cheshbon. Sometimes an injustice is going to be carried out. It's part of the system. Because it's a human system, it's understood that as part of the system, things aren't always going to work out fair, things aren't always going to work out perfectly, and that's why there's a God in this world. Because God will make sure things work out perfectly. Tshuva, because by its nature, is something between man and God, doesn't relate to human interaction. And it doesn't relate to Beis Din's chiyuv to judge. So it's not like a geshmaka answer, but I think it's the right answer. So Beis Din relates to a Maisa, an Edim, a Hasra. That's what Beis Din relates to. Tshuva, if in fact the person did Tshuva, Kodesh Baruch Hu, leaving it out, he'll figure everything out. I think there's tremendous Musar to be taken from each of the answers also. Just Al Regel Achas, because I have to go to my next meeting. But just Al Regel Achas. Take the note of Yehuda. Right, the note of Yehuda says, why is it that we're not going to that we will punish a Baal Tshuva? Because if we didn't, then every single person, before they would do the Avera, would say, there are no consequences to my sin. There are no consequences for what I'm about to do. I think there's tremendous Musar in that. That so many of our Averos are because we fail to see consequences. Rav Nevenzahl is a beautiful shmuz about this. That if we would appreciate what a little Avera, what it does, what it means in the Olamos Elyon, and what it means up there, we just don't see the consequences. We don't see how doing this little thing is going to cause some sort of problem, long-term problem. And we just don't see consequences in our actions. And so many of our Averos start that way. And the Debuta says that's the breakdown. You can't have an Avera without consequences. Otherwise, everything falls apart. The Chida, I thought, was also very interesting. The Chida says, why is it that we still punish Baalei Tshuva? Because we don't know what's going on in people's heads. We don't know if they did or did not do tshuva. How many times in our interpersonal reactions, interactions with people, do we assume we know exactly what's going on in someone's head? Oh, I know why they did that, because they think they're greater than everybody else, and they think this, and they think that. How many of our averos, ben adam l'chavero, are done because how much of our lashon hara that we speak, because we assume we have the full picture. We assume we're able to assess the situation and we got it. It's a message in Echidah, whether it's the correct pshat or not. We never have the full picture. We barely even have the full picture of what's going on in our own heads, because we're not honest enough with ourselves. We never have the full picture of what's going on in somebody else's head. And so many of the Averis Ben Amlachaveros, certainly 99% of the Lashon Hara we speak, would probably be fall by the wayside if we had the full picture, if we had the complete picture. And the final thing is cheshbonos, right? The answer that we did suggest is that Beis Din is not paid to make cheshbonos of Shemayim. We have a job to do. And a lot of times in our approach to doing mitzvos and averos, we think, we have a cheshbon. I know God said this, but I'm really tired. There's something really important, it's going to disappoint this person, whatever it is, we make all sorts of cheshbonos. We're going to go up to Shemayim, and there's din b'cheshbon. One of the ideas of cheshbon is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, did you make extra cheshbonos? Did you make cheshbonos that shouldn't have been your cheshbon? Were there cheshbonos besides for what's the Ratzon Hashem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a picture of what we're supposed to be. And if we work within that framework of what we're supposed to be, and we don't worry beyond that framework, we can accomplish that. There's a remarkable story. It doesn't really relate so much, but it's a great story to close with. Rabbi Fran tells the story of a woman, a Reformed rabbi, Reformed Rebbetzin, a woman who's married to the Reformed rabbi in Lakewood, still a Reformed shul in Lakewood. And she comes into the dry cleaners to pick up her dry cleaning, and it was a hot August day. So she's wearing whatever, however a non-religious woman dresses on a hot August day. And she goes into the dry cleaner and she writes a check. And the dry cleaner sees on the check, it says Rabbi so-and-so and Mrs. whatever. He sees that it says Rabbi on the check. The dry cleaner says, just give me a moment. He goes to the back, he stalls her, starts talking to her. 10 minutes later, the cops come. And they want to arrest her. And she's like, what's going on? Was the check bad? The check was fine. Dry cleaner says, I know what a rabbi's wife looks like. It's not a rabbi's wife. I live in Lakewood. I know exactly what a rabbi's wife looks like. It's a stolen check. And the Musar, it's humorous, but the Musar, I think, is we're going to go up to Shemayim after 120 years, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to say, I know what a neshama is supposed to look like. I know what a Jew is supposed to look like. That's not it. We overreached. We have cheshbonos of satisfying this one and that one and this concern and that concern. Did you satisfy the Ribbono Shel Olam? We have voted to do for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Those cheshbonos aren't for us. Let the Ribbono Shel Olam worry about all those pressures and cheshbonos. Our cheshbon is doing our, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a rule book and we have to follow it. Those are our cheshbonos. Okay, so these are three approaches to the idea of tshuva not working in the eyes of Beis Din, why it's so, and perhaps a little bit of mussar to get from each one. Obviously, there's more that we skipped than we did. You could, if you're so inclined, you can look for further insight in the packet. Okay.